All right. Well, today we're going to be determining the top 10 animated films of all time as decided by the three of us.
Akira!
Akira!
Let me ask you a question, because this movie actually was redubbed in the 2000s. They have the 80s.
I like the creepier 80s dub.
Yeah, because you know what they didn't.
It was more weird and disquieting. I admit the voice acting wasn't as good on a technical level, but it just, I don't know. It had more of a fucking, It was a more disturbing vibe to the fucking movie that I feel like gets lost kind of in that new one.
Didn't they kind of misunderstand that the Espers were like kids? So didn't they kind of give the characters, because they kind of looked older? Didn't they give them like an old man voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why they redid it, because they kind of gave the kids like, hey.
I kind of liked that, though. That one kid sounded like Louis Anderson. I forget his name.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
But they gave him a voice like this. And then in the new version, he just sounds like a normal kid. It's like, man, that sucks.
Give him back this voice where it sounds like he smokes a lot.
So, Paul, you like this. In 1988, the Japanese government drops an atomic bomb on Tokyo after ESP experiments on children go awry.
That's right. Bring on the nukes.
I mean, Japan followed your advice. Actually, I think I might pull the gif of that.
Japan the nukes itself in this movie. I mean, come on.
I don't know.
I thought I did.
I don't see no nuke gif.
Oh, I think it might be at the bottom. It's at the bottom.
It's here, but it's like
full screen. It.
Yeah. Kaboom! Kaboom!
That's right. That's the way to do it.
So in 2019,
that's the way you do it.
There's already been a cover up. In 2019, 31 years after the nuking of the city, Kaneda, a bike gang leader, tries to save his friend Tetsuo from a secret government project.
But it doesn't go too well.
It does not, TJ. So they discover that Tetsuo possesses powerful psychic abilities similar to Akira!
Akira!
The Esper responsible for Tokyo's destruction. Takashi's fellow Esper, Kyoko, forewarns Shikashima, who's that's like the military guy, of Neo Tokyo's impending destruction. Of course, you know... However, Neo Tokyo's parliament dismisses Shikashima's concerns, leading him to consider killing Tetsuo to prevent another cataclysm. So yet again, the typical kind of response to a crisis situation. A bunch of people go to worship it. You know, Akira has returned! And of course, the government is like, there's no problem here. Rioting in the streets.
Everything's fine.
And the city of Neo Tokyo is very well fleshed out. It's like this monolithic kind of city in the horizon constantly in a lot of the scenes, but it's still very gritty and slum like. You know, people are addicted to drugs, crime is rampant. You know, they even have a scene before they engage in that bikers fight with the other biker gang that kind of leads to Tetsuo being taken by the government.
This is what happens when you masturbate.
Oh shit. That's a pretty effective advertisement to masturbate. Who wouldn't want to have their body grow uncontrollably?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Now, I like this movie because it's like a body horror movie. I like all the weird biological explosions and shit that happen in it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. I think his set of powers is pretty cool, too. And it's kind of cool to see like that sort of like unrestrained power that's so great that even its wielder can't really control it.
And I mean, you also have to like, too, the fact that like, you know, the scientist, instead of like, despite the fact that they basically had to destroy the city last time because of these experiments, are just like, the scientist is so eager. Oh, yes, the power of Akira. So a little bit more of the plot.
More blatant symbolism, by the way.
Yeah, of course. I mean, well, the movie begins with that. Meanwhile, Tetsuo escapes from the hospital, steals Kaneda's motorcycle, and prepares to flee Neo Tokyo with his girlfriend, Kyore. The clowns, who are basically the biker game they kind of got in the fight with earlier in the movie, ambush them, but they're rescued by Kaneda's gang. During the intervention, however, Tetsuo begins to suffer intense headaches and hallucinations. He's returned to the hospital. Of course, there's also a resistance storyline, but we're going to kind of skip that for the purpose of this. At the hospital, the Espers confront Tetsuo, and he aggressively fights back with his psychokinetic powers and escapes. And the Espers, in this case, are children. They're children with psychic abilities.
Yeah, and then he goes on a fucking rampage through the city and just fucking waste everybody.
In his mind, he's like a god. These power creatures are beginning to make him egomaniacal and unstable. Kaneda, Kay, and the resistance group infiltrate the hospital and drawn into Shikishima and the Espers' attempt to stop Tetsuo. He overpowers them all and flees the hospital after learning from Kyoko that he can gain the help from Akira, who is cryogenically stored beneath the Olympic Stadium construction site, which leads to a pretty epic battle and the epic conclusion of this movie, which, again, we're not going to spoil anything. So if you haven't seen
epic battle, everything blows up.
A rather explosive ending. Let's just say that.
Ha ha! And then Shrek.
I know. Yeah, we're gonna shift gears here.
Nuke to Shrek.
Nuke the Shreks, dude.
Nuke it.
Definitely explaining these American movies compared to the Japanese ones is way easier. Okay, so here's the synopsis of this one. So once upon a time, in a faraway swamp, there lived an ogre named Shrek, whose precious solitude is suddenly shattered by the invasion of annoying fairy tale characters. They were all banished from their kingdom by the evil Lord Farquaad, who's a great character.
Farquaad. Which is supposed to invoke, of course, Fuckwad.
Nuh-uh.
Lord Fuckwad. And there's a bunch of dick jokes and stuff in there. This was like one of the first movies. Now, obviously, like, they've always kind of snuck adult jokes into a lot of these kids movies, but this one really like ramped it up to 10, you know?
Trying to get them parents to go see it.
Right, because it's basically just trying to make the experience for the parent trying to take their kid to this movie not miserable, and give them something to actually enjoy in the movie, and give them some jokes that they're like, whoa, that's in a kid's movie.
Well, this kind of established DreamWorks is actually being able to make animated movies too. I mean, Donkey, voiced by Eddie Murphy. I mean, everyone was spouting lines that he had from this fucking movie when it came out. I mean, he kind of stole the show.
It's really the best thing about the movie.
Oh yeah, I mean, Donkey's just that ever present voice of the movie. He's kind of like, you know, he's the comic relief, you know, but he's just like such an important character.
But before
he really pushes the story forward,
you know, before Chris Farley died, he was going to play Shrek.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, he was going to do Shrek.
He actually recorded.
They even had some recordings.
He even recorded some lines and stuff. He was going to do it more just kind of straight up in his own voice. It wasn't really going to be like an accent or anything. But it would have been a totally different fucking movie.
So TJ, what do you think of this movie overall? Are you a fan of Shrek?
I like the movie. I like Shrek 2 actually better, but
a lot of people do. I was kind of torn. Well, if I was going to pull Shrek 1 or Shrek 2, but I was like, well, this kind of kicked everything off.
Yeah, I can see that. But I think the writing in Shrek 2 is a little sharper, and then it just fell off the rails. Shrek 3 is awful. Shrek 4 is slightly less awful, but still awful. And then I don't know if they've made any other ones. I think they said they're going to try to reboot it or some shit, which is like, what? Why you what? Yeah, whatever.
Well, I mean, Eddie Murphy's come back, dude. Mike Myers, what is Mike Myers doing?
Nothing.
I mean, Eddie Murphy's actually in a better position in his career. Lord Farquaad.
Yeah, I love John Lithgow in this. I don't know. It's just like it's a pretty fucking reasonably funny fucking comedy in an age where, you know, I mean, I guess the comedy had totally fallen off at this point. But I mean, like, you know, it's an animated movie, but it works just as a straight up comedy. And you know,
really
they do a really good job of writing jokes that adults are going to get that kids are not going to get, or they're going to get on a different level that's more like age appropriate. So they snuck in a lot of subversive humor in it. And I think the results are pretty good.
I think the appearance of it, too, kind of deceives you. Like, I think people on first glance is like, it's another stupid kids movie. And especially in this time period, like, this movie just kind of came out of left field. Like, it wasn't something that a lot of people were expecting from DreamWorks to put out. It's like, okay, this is a kids movie, right? But it's kind of not. But kids love it. So it's like, kids don't get a lot of the jokes like you're saying, but they still enjoy it. Parents enjoy it. It's kind of one of those movies, it's just a total crowd pleaser. And for that reason, I think it deserves, you know, consideration in the top 10.
Yeah. Man, it makes sense to me.
This is a tough episode for me because I'm not a big... I've been put off by a lot of animation, and I find Shrek to be kind of an annoying movie, to be honest with you. Like, I don't like the animation style. I don't like these CG movies. That has a lot to do with the fact that back when I was married, we had a roommate that had a kid that just watched these fucking DreamWorks movies end to end constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, any movie watched endlessly is like, you know, it's going to get old. It's going to get stale. And I think if you're just inundated with it, it's kind of easy. Like, I've definitely been through that as well. It's like you see, like let's even say you enjoy Trek watching it one time. If you watch it 100 times, you're basically going to say, I wish Trek would just die. I wish this fucking movie would just get destroyed and burned to the fucking ground. Every copy of it thrown in a fucking volcano.
I mean, I just feel like with animation, you know, it's just like so much is possible that it's kind of hard to really understand the mentality of like, oh, well, you know, I just don't like this fucking CG. I mean, like, there's so many fucking different concepts you could do with this. Do you feel like they just haven't done the right concept, or you feel like there's something like, does it trigger like this uncanny valley kind of thing, or like,
no, it's just the style of it. Like, I feel like that a lot of the movies that are released keep this same kind of style, but you know, I fully admit that I just kind of avoid these movies as a rule because I'm so annoyed by their existence.
Yeah. I mean, like, they've definitely been shoveling, especially as the technology, I guess, has gotten easier to do. Like, I mean, there's just been a real glut of this kind of content, but I mean, I feel like this is a pretty well-written fucking movie.
I remember liking it the first time I watched it. I chuckled a few times at some of the lines in it, but it's just like, you know, it's the same thing with a lot of these movies that we've covered so far that I've seen. It's like, as an adult, I don't go back and watch these movies. I just don't. I'm not the guy that's going to, yeah, I'm going to sit down and watch something. Oh, let's put on The Lion King. Like, right. It's just not me. Like, yeah. I like a live action film, so it's just tough for me. You know, I'm trying to remember some of the things that I enjoyed about these movies, but in general, I'm put off by just animated movies in general, I think.
I mean, everyone has their preferences, and, you know, I think that it's one of those things where if, you know, they're not near and dear to you, and some people just aren't fans of animated works in general. I mean, like, I'm sure there's probably a few animated films here and there that, you know, maybe you enjoy, maybe, you know, some of the ones that I think that to me, this is kind of like almost like the childhood nostalgia thing for a lot of this stuff. It's really not to me entirely based on what am I into now? Like, would I watch Shrek now? I mean, maybe, but I still think it's worth mentioning these films. I think they're valid and they stand on their own. I think that also you have to remember the time there wasn't a glut of this when Shrek was released. This was still kind of the beginning of all this stuff. I mean, now looking at it from, you know, 20 years later, yeah, we have a glut of this shit.
The cutting edge at the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of important to remember the context of that time, but also we can't, you know, ignore the direction these things went in, where it just became just pervasive, and all these movies kind of tried to do this to some degree. But I think it's important to remember Shrek was kind of one of the founders of that, and that's
sure.
Well, this is the real founder, though.
Yeah, but this is the fucking super OG here.
Deep Fat Fried. Deep Fat Fried.